I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte's in studio with me. And on the phone, we have our second USGS Scientist of the Hour, Oliver Boyd. Thanks so much for being on Sounds Good this morning.
No, thank you.
Dr. Boyd, you're a research geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey in Golden, Colorado. And you're the guy to go to ask about this low-flying airplane that looks underground for clues about New Madrid earthquakes.
Well, yeah, I'm one of the guys to go to. Rick Blakely with the USGS is going to be heading up a lot of the research for this work. And then Rob Williams is also heavily involved in the work in the central and eastern U.S.
So describe what this low-flying, single-engine Cessna red and white airplane will be doing.
Well, it's going to be looking at the Earth's magnetic field, and it's going to be flying pretty close to the surface, about 600 feet off the ground, which is basically the minimum altitude you can fly by the FAA. And it's a survey that's going to cover about 1,800 square miles, which is about the size of Rhode Island. And it's going to fly across the Boot Heel, Missouri, and northeastern Arkansas and western Tennessee, include City of Lake Blytheville, Arkansas, and Kennett, Missouri. They'll finish the survey in about a month, and the results, they'll finish analyzing the data and have results by the beginning of January in 2014. It also turns out by design that this survey overlaps with a LIDAR survey, which is a very high-resolution topography survey that we acquired back in 2012, and those two data sets will help to identify faults, hidden faults in the area.
Explain how that works. Explain the magnetometer workings.
Okay, well, so the magnetometer is looking at the Earth's magnetic field, and rocks, whether they be sediments or igneous rocks, they have different magnetic properties. They have variable magnetic properties. And so if you have a fault or a change in the geology, you'll see that in the magnetic field. And so where you see those changes, if they're kind of these long, straight features, then they're very likely due to faulting. And then we can map those faults out at relatively high resolution. We've done a lot of research in the area running seismic lines, but a lot of times those will just give you points where you see the faults. And so these will be able to tie those points together and give us a much, much better idea of where the faults are in the area.
What is the do you do these studies periodically, and what's the interval of study?
Well, we'd love to do these studies as often as we could, but you know, our funding is relatively limited. But so we probably have some sort of research in the area at least once a year. But we have we're part of the National Earthquake Hazard Reduction Program, which funds various researchers to reduce earthquake hazards in the central and eastern U.S.
How do you use the data to reduce the hazards?
Well, it's more that we reduce risk by better understanding the hazard. And so where we can locate faults, then we can conduct further research, so we can say we entrench through them. We can look for sand blows in the area, but we can look for additional information that would tell us how large earthquakes on those faults are and how often those earthquakes occur. And then with all of this information, we'll have a better idea of what the ground motions would be from these earthquakes and then how to build structures and how to better prepare for the kind of earthquakes that we expect.
Is it correct that for the last 40 years, our area, the New Madrid area, has been the most seismically active region in the U.S. east of the Rockies?
Yes, that is correct. Yep, most active seismic zone east of the Rockies in the last 40 years. And there are about 200 earthquakes per year in the New Madrid seismic zone, greater than magnitude 1.5. We generally, based on that seismicity, we say that in the next 50 years, there's about a 25 to 40% chance of a magnitude 6 or greater. And then based on what we know about New Madrid-type earthquakes, you know, what happened in 1811, 1812, would also the same sort of sequence happened in 1450, 980, and 2300 BC, we expect that sort of earthquake has a 10% chance in the next 50 years of occurring.
May I show my ignorance and ask, how do you know about magnitudes 7 to 8 occurring in 1450, 900, and 2300 BC? How do you know that?
Well, we infer this from the data we've collected. So some of that data is looking at sand blows. So you have these vast sand blow fields in the upper Mississippi embayment in the New Madrid seismic zone. And those sand blow fields have objects that can be dated either within, above, or below the sand blows. And so they've been dated at about 1450 AD, 900 AD, and 2300 BC. And then the extent of those sand blows and the way they're formed suggests that there are similar sized earthquakes. And those sand blows, sort of sand blows and large fields were also produced in 1811, 1812. And so we have some idea of what 1811, 1812 was in terms of size. And so by comparison, we think that what happened in 1450, 900 AD, and 2300 BC were also of similar size.
Dr. Boyd, I actually think I understand what you're talking about, and I appreciate you making it so clear. Thank you for speaking with us today.
No, you're very welcome.
Oliver Boyd, Dr. Oliver Boyd is a research geophysicist with the U.S. Geological Survey in Golden, Colorado.